Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. I hope your new year has started out well. Today we are working in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, the last part of verse 4 through verse 14, where I believe Paul gives us some excellent advice as we begin a brand new year. The first few weeks of January can be a bit of a shock for many of us. Most of us just cannot believe that yet another year has gone by so quickly. Last week, we were gathered for worship on the very first Sunday of a brand new year. Although January is one of the bleakest months of the year in terms of our weather, it can also be an exciting time for us because it is a time of transition. January is the month of new beginnings. According to the oldest of Roman traditions, January is the month of change, doorways, openings, and gateways. Its very name comes right out of Roman mythology, having been named for the god Janus. Janus is most often depicted as having two faces, one looking back to the past and one looking forward to the future. The history of our calendar is an interesting one. America and most of the Western world now uses the Gregorian calendar, but this has not always been so. This change took place not all that long ago in our history, when our country was still in its infancy. For centuries, the Western world used the Julian calendar, which Julius Caesar ordered to be put into place back in 45 BC, hence its name. It consisted of a three-year cycle of 365 days, with a year of 366 days occurring every fourth year. It also moved the first day of the year from March 1st to January 1st. 15 centuries later, by the time of Pope Gregory VIII, it had drifted off course more than 10 days, and so it needed to be brought up to date and put in sync with the seasons. This was the reason for the reform that he initiated in 1582, and it has borne his name ever since. While Pope Gregory's reforms were accepted by many of the European countries, some of the predominantly Protestant countries did not accept it and still used the Julian calendar, wanting to keep their distance from anything that appeared to be too Catholic. Thus, it took another 170 years for the British and her colonies to make the change to the Gregorian calendar, finally adopting it in 1752. And then, because of the differences between the two calendars, several steps had to take place in order to change over to the new calendar, the most drastic of which was to leave out 13 days in the month of September, so as to put these two different calendars in sync. So, because we are in the month of January, and since Janus was the god of beginnings, doorways, opportunities, and transitions, this tradition has stayed with us to this very day, and it makes it a very fitting time to consider which direction we are going to face in the coming year. We must decide. Will we be spending most of our time looking back at the year gone by, or looking forward to the new year about to unfold before us? Will our focus be on what was or what will be? This is one area where the Bible can certainly give us some guidance. Traditions are important. The Hebrew people were continually asked to look back and remember all the things that God had done for them. The most notable event in their history was, of course, their deliverance from slavery in the land of Egypt. This initiated one of the most important holy days in Judaism, and is still celebrated by most every Jewish community to this day, the Feast of Passover. The focus of Passover is to look back, remember, and give thanks. Focusing on the past and looking back is not always a bad thing. Throughout Scripture, we are given constant reminders to forget not all His benefits, Psalm 103, verse 2. Look back, remember, and give thanks. When Joshua led the Israelite people across the Jordan River to conquer the land of Canaan. Each tribe chose a representative to take a stone from the river. These were then used to build an altar at Gilgal. Then he told them, "When your children ask their parents in times to come, 'What do these stones mean?' you shall let them know." Here is where Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry ground, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Joshua chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. Look back, remember, and give thanks. Israel's last judge, Samuel, once took a stone after the Israelites won a stunning victory over the Philistines to set up an altar to God. He called it Ebenezer, saying, "Here too has the Lord helped us." 1 Samuel 7:12. This is what is referred to in the popular hymn, "Come, Thou Fount of Every Blessing." The second verse begins with, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. Look back, remember, and give thanks." Looking back, remembering how God has cared for us, and counting your blessings are important things for us to do. It helps us to put life's current challenges into perspective. While looking back and giving thanks can be a good thing, focusing too much on the past can also be unproductive and even detrimental. Lot's wife disobeyed God and looked back at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and was changed into a pillar of salt. Spending too much of our time lamenting about our past failures and mistakes robs us of our joy, causes stress, and is unhealthy. Spending too much of our time dwelling on what might have been is rarely ever helpful and does very little to help us move forward. Paul is quite frank in his letters about his past mistakes, but it is clear he spends little time brooding over them. The book of Acts tells us quite a bit about his persecution of the early Christian movement. He stood by while Stephen was stoned to death and used his position and his education to do as much damage as he could to stop this new cult that he considered to be a dangerous heresy. He says earlier in this same letter that he does not dwell on these things as he looks back on his former status as a well-educated Jew. In fact, he says he considers it all rubbish. "Yet indeed I also count all these things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ." Chapter 3, verse 8. Of course, we know that Janus has another face, one that looks forward to the future. And this is what most of us are focusing on now as we begin a brand new year. What will the new year bring for us? What will we be working on to achieve? Am I setting myself some goals for self-improvement in my spiritual life as well as in my physical life? What might God be leading me to do? Paul just might have some ideas to share with us. He not only writes about forgetting the past, but he says, "Straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Verse 14. When Paul writes these words, he is obviously not thinking about the start of a new year or his New Year's resolution. However, he is talking about a new start in his life. He uses the metaphor of running a race to drive home this point. Here, his focus is not on past failures. Rather, his attention is on the finish line and moving forward. Paul says he strains forward to what lies ahead, pressing on toward the goal of eternal life with Christ. But Paul does not separate remembering the past from focusing on the present. He does not use or. Rather, he uses the conjunction and when he says, "forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." This suggests that forgetting and straining forward are, well, they're not to be separated, but are meant to be practiced simultaneously, both at the same time. They are merely two sides of the same coin. I once had a friend who came to me almost broken in spirit. As we sat and talked, he started to unload his recent frustrations and failures. He talked about the problems he was having at his job. He talked about his brother who had all but abandoned the rest of their family and did not seem to want anything to do with them. But the one thing that he was clearly upset about the most was the fact that his wife of over 20 years had moved out and had filed for a divorce. This had clearly crushed his spirit, and he went down through a checklist of possible causes, having never been told by her the real reason why she had decided to divorce him. He said several times, "I know I caused some problems in our marriage because of the way I acted at times. I don't know why I do some of the things I do, and sometimes I end up doing the very thing I tried so hard not to do." I said, "You know, another very well-known person once said some of the very same things that you just said. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans that I end up doing the very things I know I should not do, and I don't do the things I know I should do." Well, I told him that this contradiction lies within all of us, and it is something that we must all battle constantly to overcome. We all should remember past errors and then strive to do better, keeping our focus on future accomplishments. Roman Catholic priest, theologian, and prolific author Thomas Merton once wrote, "I have become convinced that the very contradictions in my life are in some ways a sign of God's mercy to me. If only because someone so complicated and so prone to confusion and self-defeat could hardly survive for long without special mercy." We should all be wary of becoming complacent about our weaknesses and our failures. But those things are in our past, and we should be not spending too much time lamenting over them. However, we should find ways of tapping into the power of God to help us become the kind of persons that will represent Christ well. As Paul said, "I will run toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." We all have contradictions in our lives, and we must acknowledge that tension that exists between our dreams and our deeds, and never forget that we are under grace. We are all on a journey of spiritual development, and we must be looking both ways at the same time, looking back to see the progress that we have made while also looking forward and striving towards the goal. As Paul said to the Philippians, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." While the Roman god Janus reminds us of our tendency to focus on the past, he also reminds us to look forward to the future. In the book of Hebrews, we read something very similar to what Paul has said. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus." Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Well, today marks only the sixth day of 2019, and while we know we have not yet reached the goal of Christian perfection, let us press on toward that goal, striving to do the best and be the best that we can be, looking always to the future, to Jesus Christ, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Yet, as we work to accomplish our goals, we must not forget from whence we came. So, look back, remember, and give thanks. and also look to the future and press on toward your goals, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.